We're continuing with Bruce Fronin, the book Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. Conservative does not mean Republican, as he talks about this quite a bit in the book. And these ideas, these concepts of individualism, community, township, our founding fathers, the self-government, all these ideas. This is America. We're people interacting and going forward, living our lives. That's America, or certainly was America. Progressivism came in and decided to want to manage those lives. And here we are, some 240 years or so past the point of revolution. And where are we? And can we find our way? Coming home. That's what Bruce wants us to do. He's talked about that. Encounterbooks.com. You can get the book. Encounterbooks.com is the name of the publisher. And, of course, where other books are sold, like Amazon or what have you. I get a lot of books, ladies and gentlemen. This is very good. If you're interested at all in what Bruce is talking about, I would certainly recommend getting this. This is a very good read and good information. Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul. Bruce is also a contributor to FedSoc, the Federalist Society, FedSoc.org. You can see some of his writings and contributions there. FedSoc.org. Bruce Fronin. Bruce Fronin. F-R-O-H-N-E-N. Really nice to meet him. Really glad that he's decided to spend a little more time with us. Very good discussion. Very important discussion. I look out at the world today, the news, what have you. I see people, you know, when I was growing up, let me put it this way. My grandfather had the saying, better dead than red. That's how much disdain that his generation, the World War II generation, had to communists, socialism, any of it. It was like, better dead than red. Okay, fast forward to today, I see people like Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders. I mean, they're openly one step away from Stalin almost, or maybe two steps away from Stalin. And they're openly promoting their ideologies and in their party and getting votes for this in America. My grandfather would just have a heart attack. It's unbelievable. How in the world do we take these concepts that these people have, and how do we take back our traditional values in this country?
How do we take it back? Well, you know, the good news is these people are not normal. And they're certainly not normal Americans, that what they are presenting to us is an abnormal way of life that is not natural to humankind, not natural certainly to Americans and our traditions. So we can, in fact, heal. What that requires is that we stop funding these folks. We stop supporting them. Most of these folks couldn't make a living if their lives depended on it. How did Bernie Sanders make a living? He's worked for the government his whole life. Ocasio-Cortez, she was a bartender until suddenly she found that the government would hire her. Most professors couldn't make a living if their lives depended on it. We need to stop subsidizing those who hate us. If we can do that, we can recover. And there are definitely ways that we can do that. I mean, we need to stop subsidizing university education. There are so many people who would be better off if they were learning to become skilled tradesmen, who instead are going to a place where they hate men, they hate boys, they hate traditional women. They're teaching them all about how to hate their tradition, when they would get a better education, have better lives if they learned to be carpenters, jewelers, welders.
Plumbers.
Yes, I could definitely use one of those. And what's happening here is we're subsidizing it. The whole student loan fiasco that's impoverishing our children is a subsidy for crazy universities because it means they don't have to actually help their students. They become the only game in town, and students just borrow against it. We don't have to have the government to the tunes of billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars every year, funneling their research money through universities, which then take a quarter off the top as overhead. We don't have to be setting up these national programs, No Child Left Behind. You know, George W. Bush, a Republican administration, was behind this terrible program that empowered bureaucrats in Washington to decide what our kids are going to learn in their local schools. You look through this time and again, what you find are federal programs that are subsidizing the people who hate us. The same goes for the movie industry, by the way. There are all kinds of tax breaks they get. Harvard, tens of billions of dollars in its endowment that don't get taxed. They're treated as if they were a charity. So if we can take back the money that we're shoveling into the maw of this beast, it will instantly almost start losing its power. Now, is that going to be the solution to everything? No, but it's a big start.
All right, let me ask a question from what you said. I agree with you. I think it's a great idea. But you're almost have a better chance of circling the moon three times and coming back than of defunding this government system. Basically, you're saying the whole Federal Reserve, IRS money funnel system from the American people to this corporate government structure needs to stop, because not on their own, they're certainly not going to stop funding this. I think. Your thoughts?
Okay, that's a very good point. I have a couple of responses to that. One, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Two, the good thing about Bernie Sanders, AOC, and all these others coming out of the woodwork and admitting who they are is we're faced with a much clearer choice than we've ever had before.
Yes, I agree. Yes, that's a great point.
This is a chance for us to make the case. And people are, in fact, talking about defunding the student loan program because so many people are going bankrupt trying to pay them off, and so many people have defaulted on the loans. It's a huge boondoggle. There are pots of money. We have to approach this from all kinds of different angles. Okay, reform in all these areas. We need to move. We're not going to suddenly win everything, but it's a fight that's worth taking to the other side. But you're right. It's not going to be enough because this is at the federal level. The other things that need to happen are at the state and local level, which is traditional Americans need to show up more often. We need to show up at our town meetings, our county meetings, our parent-teacher association meetings, the school board meetings. And we tend not to do that because we have better things to do with our time. Unfortunately, this is the best thing we can do with our time right now because we have to fight back. So it's a combination of things.
Well, you bring up a great point. What you just said, there is that. What else is there? Because we're really talking about the fundamental nature of this country. Let me bring up a point about city meetings, okay? It's been all over the internet. You probably have seen the video or at least heard about it. In California, school district was instituting this comprehensive sex education and other things. The parents in droves, a lot of people went to the meeting. They spoke, and 80-90% of them were like, "Are you out of your mind? What in the world? Well, you're teaching to a 6-year-old. Are you out of your freaking mind?" You know, that's what some of the things that people were saying. And then when they finally took the vote, the city council or the town council there, whatever it was, 9-0 in favor, we're going to institute the curriculum and just totally ignored the people. I mean, we're seeing that too at the same time, even when people do show up.
I understand. I take your point. There's a tragedy and it's infuriating. But one of the things you have to keep in mind, of course, is that California is a one-party state. They don't fear these people because they think the whole state is on their side. If you look at some of the other things going on, though, for instance, you know about the drag queen reading hours at the various libraries.
Yes.
Have you noticed that, they're very happy to have that be picked up in the general press, but they suddenly get very shy when some of the truths of what's going on there. Did you see a little piece just the other day about how one of these drag queens was laying on the ground and the children were climbing on him? And there was fondling going on, and it was on their Facebook page. As soon as someone saw it, it was taken down.
I didn't see that.
But it was taken down immediately when that news got out. So they're afraid of too much publicity as well. It's not going to be easy. You're absolutely right. In some places, it'll work a lot better than others. But we have to start the fight. The other thing we have to start doing, frankly, is suing and going ahead and being sued. You're seeing some towns that are more willing to go ahead and put up that nativity scene and go ahead and be sued. One of the most important sets of groups we have now are these public interest law firms. First Liberty Institute is one of them. There are a number of others that will represent folks like the Masterpiece Cake Shop, right, who will defend them against those who are trying to trample on their rights of religious freedom. We need to support organizations like that.
What was the name of that law firm?
The one I was talking about was the First Liberty Institute. There's also the Alliance Defending Freedom. There are a few of them out there.
Or Celebrity Institute. Yes. Okay. You brought up that cake situation, Masterpiece Theater. I think you're talking about the Colorado. I know there's a couple of them. You talk about what happened in Denver or outside Denver.
There's also the Florida.
What do you make of that case? I mean, are you kidding me? Why didn't the Supreme Court come down and make a concrete decision on this?
Because in order to come to the proper conclusion on that, which is you're crazy, they would have to admit that you don't have a right to demand service of someone. And the problem with that has been some of the misreadings of the civil rights statutes, which are very important elements of maintaining freedom and decency in America. Okay? But in a number of ways, these have been misread as ways of forcing people to provide service. Okay?
I would disagree with you. Allow me to disagree with you on that point. I agree basically with what you're saying, but let me disagree with you. See, I'm to the point. Because we're seeing how this is being applied. We're seeing what these quote-unquote civil rights laws, what these really mean. You know, what it really means is attacking traditional America. It's all come full circle now and how it's being used. I'm to the point, if I start a business, I have a restaurant, I can serve whoever I want. This is America. Government should not be able to make me. If I don't want to serve black people, if I don't want to serve white people, if I don't want to serve China, then I don't have to serve any of them. And then me as a consumer, then I just won't support that restaurant. I'll go support the other restaurant down the street that does serve black, white, Chinese, whatever people. The natural market will kind of dictate these things. To transform the community is not, I just can't see how it's constitutional.
It's really not. Now you're going to lose me my job. So let me be careful how I
report. I'm sorry, Bruce. I think that Bruce didn't say that. Bruce didn't say that. This is not Bruce. This is Todd. That was Todd. Don't worry about it.
There are very important institutional things that have to be done. Some of that needs to be civil rights and African Americans in particular, their procedural rights, their right to sue was, for example, denied them. To turn everything into a federal case that involves the Justice Department is not the way to establish the fundamental equality dictated by God.
Okay, you said something earlier at the start of this hour, or this half hour here that we're in. You said this progressive agenda, and it really, I put a big star by it and I wrote it down. The progressive agenda that we're seeing is not natural to humankind. What a profound statement. What do you mean by that?
People do not live as individual citizens of a national government. People live as fathers, mothers, children, husbands, wives, members of their communities.
Oh, my God.
If the
that
government
was so profound.
Sees us as a
Bruce, I have to interrupt you there. That it's not just basic; it's unbelievably profound. People don't grow up; they're children. They're born not as an American or as a Russian or whatever. They're born as a son or a daughter. Oh my gosh, that's profound. But it's like self-evident. It's like Thomas Jefferson. This is self-evident. Is this why we're seeing the attack? You know, we're seeing 6-year-olds being taught that, you know, mommy and daddy chose your gender, but that's not your gender. You can choose your gender. They assigned you a gender, but that's not your gender. Is that basically what you're saying is the whole natural state of humankind is this progressive is trying to transform even that because the natural state of a father, mother, is antithetical to this progressive agenda. You just told me that family is completely against this new progressive agenda and where we're going in with this Marxist ideology.
Well, Obergefell, same-sex marriage, the whole idea of cradle-to-grave welfare state, the idea of getting your kids into daycare before they're out of diapers, this is all about replacing the family with folks who are trained by state-run educational institutions on not just how to teach kids, but how to form their character to be a good citizen. It's a different worldview. It's not a plot. It's a worldview that seeks to change the nature of the person or fails to recognize the real nature of the person.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you a direct question. There's a lot of, I could talk to you for hours. I really could. You're really intelligent and a lot of subjects, but let me just get to this point. Where in the world are the churches screaming at the top of their lungs for the people to get out of this system, to not support this system, to do something different, to point a finger at what's going on? Where are they?
They're off trying to create social justice in Jesus' name. And they've misread their own religious traditions into an idea of earthly social institutions, and are increasingly ignoring the necessity of, again, the most fundamental institution that there is, the basis of society and of human sociability, which is the family. It's unfortunate, but it's deeply ingrained, and not just in the mainstream religions either. A number of evangelical churches have fallen prey to this as well. They think that, I don't mean to overgeneralize, it's certainly not most of them. It's not most of them. But there's this idea that so long as you pray, right, you can act just like everybody else, that we should all still be trying to create the same kind of society, which is one where the government sees to it that nobody is hurt anywhere. It's a mistaken understanding of what makes us fully human and a mistaken understanding of what the government can do to help, which is frankly not that much. They can protect our families, our churches, and our local associations. They can't make us happy. They can't make us good.
Well, government, I mean, if you really look at it, government doesn't create anything. Government can only steal and destroy and dictate. Government doesn't create. People create.
Yeah, now there are certain kinds, how shall I put this? I don't want to take this as saying that there are no purposes of government, but the purpose of government is to serve people's needs. It's to administer things. But we, as a self-governing people, have to decide what it's going to administer and how.
Well, the Declaration of Independence says government's only purpose is to protect those rights. Really, government's purpose, like you said, to serve their needs. What's our need? Our needs is that our rights are protected. That's our need.
Well, but sometimes, for instance, if you're in a town and you have to build a road, okay, you may need to have collect some money and put that road together. If you're in a town and someone is shooting your citizens, you may have to put together a sheriff. Okay, there are certain tasks which may or may not
be better
carried out through a mechanism that you vote on. The point is that's very much subservient to us as opposed to setting our goals for us. That, I think, is the difference.
That's why
the government of a township, a village, even a state is very different from the government of a nation, like our federal government. That's why our founders were wise enough to set up federalism. Okay? Towns have always done a lot more than the federal government.
We got 2 or 3 minutes left. I want to read an excerpt from your book here and get your last thoughts on this. It's been a pleasure having you, Bruce. The book is Coming Home. Just Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul, encounterbooks.com. You can find it or wherever books are sold. This is on page 84. To the extent we look to some distant government to tend to our character and needs, we lose the habits of face-to-face involvement, cooperation, and conflict in which we learn to respect ourselves and other people. We lose the essential, concrete communities in which we become something more than individuals, real persons, participating in associations where we belong and have purpose. That's beautiful.
Thanks. But again, I think it's a basic truth that I think Americans used to understand, and I think we still get it in our bones. And what the problem is, we have to understand that you can't get something out of the federal government that you want without it taking away who you are.
Wow. That was powerful. Last comment. Now, if I didn't get you fired before, this may get you fired, so answer it however you want.
Gee, thanks.
But, yeah, I mean, if I was going to point to one institution in this country, you know, to returning to God or returning to values, that's a little more esoteric. That's hard to quantify sometimes in people's own family or personal lives. If I was going to point to one institution and say, what is the problem with this country? What needs to be radically changed for America to change? I would say the public, quote unquote, education system, government schools. That is the problem. You're in, obviously, education. I think the public school system is basically destroying our country and transforming our values. That's what I think. Do you agree with that? I don't see any other way but to change that or to get out of it.
No, I agree completely. We're reaching the point very quickly where sending your child to a public school is a form of child abuse.
Ooh,
we need, gosh. We need to push toward private education, Christian education, homeschooling. We're lucky in this country because in a lot of countries, homeschooling is illegal. We need to make use of every tool that we've got to open up the possibility of actual parent-run schools for the sake of our future.
Mm. I don't see any
Nothing's
other way.
More important.
Nothing is more important. I mean, you said, I don't see anything more important than that and more crucial than that. Bruce, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. I hope you come back again. I don't know if you've written other books or what have you. You're a very interesting, person to converse with and would love to have you on again. I wish you nothing but success.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. If your school needs reference, if you need a reference to your character, you can call the Power Hour. So hopefully they won't fire you. Awesome.
Thanks, Todd.
God bless you, my friend. Coming up on the other side of the break, Bruce Fife will be here. Another Bruce. Bruces are wild today, I guess. From the Coconut Research Center, we'll talk about new studies on canola oil and what that means. Great interview. Bruce Fronin, ladies and gentlemen. Check out this book, Coming Home, Reclaiming America's Conservative Soul, encounterbooks.com. ThePowerHour.com, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum! If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
It's been a while since we've had our last guest, or our next guest on, Dr. Bruce Fife. He's a certified nutritionist. He's a naturopathic physician. He's written over 20 books, Piccadilly books. And he's also president of the Coconut Research Center. It's a nonprofit organization whose purpose is to educate the public and medical community about health and nutritional aspects of coconut. There you go. CoconutResearchCenter.org is the website. It's great to have him back. Bruce, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you for inviting me back.
Yeah, absolutely. We wanted to focus on a study today. Well, at least we'll start there. Canola oil, it's about just about everywhere, and most people in America use it in one form or another, but there's a study that is very telling, especially when it comes to brain health. Why don't we discuss that?
Sure. Yeah, this new study came out just recently, and it was performed by researchers at the Alzheimer's Center at Temple University. And it was an animal study, of course, and basically what they discovered is that when they gave the mice that were in the study canola oil, that they found that it caused memory loss, and so it effectively had a degenerative effect on their brains. And I guess this is one of the reasons why the Alzheimer's Center at Temple University were investigating this. And an interesting sidelight with this is not only did the mice develop memory loss, but they also gained weight. So it had a double whammy.
Memory loss. Why canola oil? Why memory loss? What is canola oil? What is it about this that's causing these problems?
Well, you know what? They didn't specify exactly what was the cause, but it could be one of many things related to canola oil. Canola oil basically is a genetically engineered oil. It's from the rapeseed plant, and the engineered oil, they've named canola oil to separate it from the rapeseed plant. And so you have that problem. You know, what happens when you play with the genes in this plant? What's it going to produce? What are the side effects? You know, research really doesn't know, although some research has shown that with these genetically engineered crops, it does increase risk of things such as cancer, birth defects, infertility, and things. So there are definitely some problems. And some of these problems may relate to brain health. I mean, if it's going to affect cancer and fertility, there's a possibility with that, too. And one of the reasons why they genetically engineer these plants is so that they can withstand heavy doses of pesticides. And so canola is heavily sprayed. And so when they produce the oil from it, you're going to get some residue, some pesticide residue. Is it because of the residue, pesticides in the canola oil that affects the brain? We don't know. Is it the genetic engineering? We don't know. Some other things, you know, they have canola oil people consider to be healthy because it's primarily a monounsaturated fat, similar to olive oil. And no oil is totally monounsaturated or saturated or polyunsaturated. They're all combinations. And like olive oil is predominantly a monounsaturated fat or oil. And canola oil, too, is predominantly a monounsaturated fat. And since olive oil is viewed as a healthy oil, canola oil also is viewed similarly. However, many people consider canola oil even better because it has a higher percentage of polyunsaturated fat. So olive oil has 77% monounsaturated fat and 9% polyunsaturated fat. And canola oil has 62% monounsaturated fat, but 31% polyunsaturated fat. And 10% of the fat in canola oil is omega-3. Now, when you hear that, you kind of think, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? We need our omega-3s. But the problem is that polyunsaturated fats are very unstable, particularly when they're exposed to heat, such as in processing or in cooking. And the omega-3 fats are even more susceptible to damage. And canola oil has gone through a lot of processing before it, you know, comes out into our foods or is sold, and so is exposed to high heat processing. And then most of the coconut or the canola oil that we consume is used in cooking. It's used in deep frying. It's used, you know, in other types of foods, in baking. And so in that process, this polyunsaturated fatty acids and the omega-3 fatty acids are completely destroyed. And this is bad because when they're destroyed, they are transformed into free radicals that damage our health, that promote premature aging and cause a lot of havoc in our bodies. And so another possibility is for this brain degeneration could be caused by the free radicals that you consume when you eat anything with canola oil in it.
What is a free radical? So basically it's some particle that's created in your body that wants to go out and damage cells? I mean, what is it?
Basically, yeah, that's right. It's a molecule or a molecular entity that has had an electron taken away from it, so it makes it highly reactive. And it's so reactive that it will grab another electron from whatever is close by, so it'll go to another molecule and rip that electron off. And when a molecule has lost an electron, its chemical properties totally change. And what happens is that when it rips the electron off, then that molecule turns into a free radical, and it looks and scavenges another electron from somewhere else. And so you set up a chain reaction producing these free radicals that are destroying molecules. And it will destroy thousands of them. And if your cell, you know, if you have cells and the molecules in your cell are being destroyed by free radicals, then that cell is going to become dysfunctional and die. And this is what's occurring in the body when it's exposed to these free radicals.
What is a rapeseed plant? Is that some sort of, it doesn't look like a corn. What does it even look like? I don't know if I've ever even seen a rapeseed plant.
Well, a rapeseed plant is a little plant, kind of like a soybean plant or anything else. If you've seen a canola plant, although there's no actual thing as a canola plant, that's what it looks like. And it's the native plant that canola come from is the rapeseed. But rapeseed, and here's another problem too, with rapeseed, it contains a high amount of erucic acid. This is a chemical in the rapeseed that makes it very toxic. And so you don't eat rapeseed because of the high toxicity. So what they had to do is they had to, with plant breeding and genetic engineering, breed out the erucic acid. And in canola oil, they've been able to reduce it substantially, but there's still about 2% erucic acid left in the canola plant. And again, that may be a problem associated with the brain degeneration too, because erucic acid has been shown to promote fatty deposits in the heart and cause thickening of the heart muscle. So it's associated with heart failure. But if it's going to do that to the heart, it's likely it's going to do some bad things to other organs in the body as well.
Now, canola, like you said, it's mostly used, or people mostly get it from cooking, whether frying or, you know, what have you. What is a good oil to cook with?
Well, the best oil to cook with would be coconut oil or another oil that is predominantly a saturated fat. And coconut oil is great because it is about 92% saturated fat. And that means that it's very stable under heat. It has a long shelf life. It doesn't degrade. And so when you cook using coconut oil, you don't have to fear that the heat is causing the generation of free radicals. And so it's a very healthy cooking, baking, all-round food preparation type of oil.
What about, you mentioned olive oil earlier, what about butter?
Butter is good too. Now, the problem with butter is that butter naturally also includes a good deal of protein and other things in it, so that when you start cooking it, you're cooking also the protein in it, so its temperature of cooking cannot be raised too high or you start to burn it.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I learned something about butter today. Olive oil is pretty good to cook with then?
Well, olive oil, as I mentioned, it's predominantly a monounsaturated fat. It contains 14% saturated fat. And saturated fats are the most heat stable. And monounsaturated fats are a little less stable, and polyunsaturated fats are the least stable. And so olive oil is best used on salads without cooking, although you can do some very low-temperature cooking with olive oil without problem.
Now, you're from the Coconut Research Center. How in the world did you get into coconut research? Did this become such a dominant part of your life? I mean, did you grow up in Hawaii or something and had coconut trees or what?
You know, I never even thought about coconuts all my life until I had a colleague, a nutritionist, tell me that coconut oil was one of the good fats and that it didn't cause heart disease and had many health benefits. And I was totally shocked to hear that because, you know, 20 years ago or so, when I learned about that, you know, I thought all saturated fats were of the devil. You know, they would cause heart disease, and that coconut oil was absolutely the worst. It was a tropical oil. You know, we've heard all the warnings. I was learned in school that saturated fats were bad. So it shocked me that this colleague would tell me that coconut oil was good. And I became so curious about it that I started to investigate it, and I went to the literature, the medical literature, to look at studies because I wanted to find facts. I didn't want to find what people said about it. I wanted to find hard facts. And so I looked up studies on coconut oil and health. And as I did that, I found all these wonderful things about coconut oil, and it encouraged me to do more research. And I looked up about every coconut research article I could find, and I found benefit after benefit after benefit. And I couldn't find any study that could prove that coconut oil promoted heart disease. Everything was positive. And I realized that most people outside the research community had no idea that coconut oil had so many health benefits. And that encouraged me to say, you know, to myself, gee, people don't know about this. People need to know about that. So I wrote my first coconut book called The Coconut Oil Miracle, and that was published in 2000. It's now in its fifth edition and still going strong.
CoconutResearchCenter.org is the website. Can people find your books there at that website?
The website really doesn't sell books. It's just educational.
How can people get your books?
They can get all my books. They can go on my other website, my publishing website, which is PiccadillyBooks.com. And it's PiccadillyBooks, PiccadillyBooks.com. And, of course, they can always key my name into Amazon and find my books there, too.
Oh, very good. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Weston Price, you're involved, especially in Colorado, with Weston Price. What is the Weston Price Foundation? How are you involved, and what should we know about that?
Well, I enjoy the Weston A. Price Foundation. I was one of the local directors here for a while. And basically, the Weston A. Price Foundation follows the discoveries of a dentist named Weston A. Price, who lived back in the early part of the 20th century. And what he did is he got his degree in dentistry in the 1890s. And during Whoa. His career, he was starting to see people with more and more people later in his career with degenerative diseases, and oral diseases and physical diseases. And he wanted to know why he didn't see these type of diseases early in his career, but he was seeing a whole bunch of them later in his career in the 1930s and 40s. And he had the idea that it was probably probably caused by a change in the diet, because this is during the period of time when people changed from eating a lot of natural farm-produced foods to a lot of processed, packaged, convenient foods and more sugar. And so he spent about 10 years traveling around the world examining the health of indigenous peoples and analyzing the diet and the traditional foods they ate. And the same people, when they started to introduce Western foods into their diet, and he found that when people started to add sugar and refined flour into their diet, their health dramatically decreased. It started to develop chronic degenerative disease, both oral diseases and physical diseases like heart disease, you know, and such like that. And he went all over the world, and he studied people in Alaska, like the Eskimos and the Indians, American Indians, and he went to Australia, the Pacific Islands, and to Africa, and studied many populations. And in every single population, regardless of what they ate, whether they ate a lot of meat or whether they ate a lot of fruit and vegetables and stuff, they remained healthy as long as they ate their traditional diet. And as soon as they started introducing modern foods, primarily sugar and white flour, that's when their health started to decline. And then he wrote a book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, which he explained all of this.
Fascinating. There's no question. I mean, even statistics, you know, sometimes statistics lie. You know, the famous Mark Twain quote about lie. There's lies, damn lies, and then statistics. But statistics are pretty clear. The people aren't living as long in America as they used to, that the longevity is going down, even when other developing countries are going up. Obviously, this has to be on your foundation's mind and on your mind. What do you think is leading to this decrease in lifespan, specifically in the United States?
Well, my belief, and I think it's shared with those people in the Weston A. Price Foundation is it's the processed foods that we're introducing in. The more processed foods that we eat, the more our health suffers, and primarily with sugar and refined grains are the major problems with our diet. But also included that would be the food additives they put in, the dyes, the MSG, you know, all these chemicals in the diet also promotes degeneration of our health. And if we got back to more of a traditional diet, basic foods, meat, you know, dairy, eggs, produce, you know, without all this processing, we'd be a lot healthier.
What do you make of, you know, I'm just asking you, I don't even know if you study this a lot. But there seems to be a raging debate about vaccines, vaccine safety, vaccine health. Many, many thousands of parents are screaming at the top of their lungs and heartbroken over vaccines that have damaged their children. The medical community is saying basically they're up in the night. What in the world are they talking about? Where do you see this? Does this come to play in any of your research, your foundation, Western Price Foundation?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think that vaccines do contribute a lot to our decreasing health. Vaccines have a lot of bad things in them, a lot of preservatives and adjuvants in it to stimulate a greater immune response that are very toxic and very harmful. And so when you're injecting this into your bloodstream, it's going to have some undesirable effects. And so I think there's a lot of caution we need to take when we're considering getting vaccinated.
Why has the medical community been so gung-ho about it? I mean, there's like no question at all. Line up. Take more. In fact, more vaccines are better. Vaccines are good, and more will be even better. The medical community in general, for the most part, I mean, they don't even recognize any of what you just said as being valid at all.
Well, you know what? You know, starting in the early 1940s, they developed penicillin, antibiotics. And so starting from there, we went on to an antibiotic craze, and drug companies produced lots of antibiotics. And at first, they worked pretty well. But over time, bacteria started developing a resistance to antibiotics. And so they had to develop more antibiotics and more antibiotics. And to develop antibiotics, it takes a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of research. And it's very hard to start developing new antibiotics. They've been developing antibiotics for many decades now, and they've kind of run out of ideas on how to develop new antibiotics. But all these bacteria are now becoming resistant to them. And so now research is shifting towards vaccines. And so the research money is now going to developing vaccines rather than antibiotics. And they see a big profit in vaccines, more so than they had with antibiotics. So that's the focus of the pharmaceutical industry is vaccines. And because of that, they're teaching doctors, you know, you need to use vaccines. And there's vaccines for everything. And there's hundreds of more vaccines that are in development as we speak right now that are going to come out to help you with losing weight and to fight this disease and to fight off the cold and all that, this type of things that they are promising to do. Yet we don't really know if they're really going to be very effective. And there's a lot of potential dangers with vaccines, and so people need to do their homework before they blindly get vaccinated.
You mentioned Alzheimer's at the beginning with canola oil. That's how we started this conversation. In the news, there's, to go with what you said, there's a new vaccine for Alzheimer's out there. And I'm just thinking, wait a minute, I thought vaccines are supposed to give you immunity to some kind of virus or what have you. Are they saying now Alzheimer's is a virus? I mean, how in the world does a I don't even get that. How in the world is there a vaccine for Alzheimer's?
You know, no, I agree totally with you. Yes, they're coming out with vaccines for every imaginable condition, whether it's related to a bacteria or a virus or whatever. I mean, vaccines for weight loss, I mean, really, how can you do that? Vaccines for Alzheimer's, really, you know, it's getting ridiculous.
Well, it would have to turn on or turn off some part of your system, not just give you immunity to a virus or let your own immune system create immunity. Now, that goes to the idea of many people who are saying vaccines do things to your body. They turn on and off DNA. They do much more than just give your body a chance to create immunity. And for years we've heard, oh no, that's completely false. That's a conspiracy theory. But just on its face, if you're telling me that it now is changing Alzheimer's, then you're telling me that it's changing something in my body like we've been screaming about for all these years. I mean, it's just on its face. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and what things does it change? I mean, it may change some things that they know about, but what other things is it changing that we don't know about?
Great point.
Like genetic engineering. We don't know what things are going to be changed with these foods.
We have, just quickly, we got about a minute and a half, literally. I got two questions for you. Genetically modified food, should we just stay away from that like the plague until we can figure this thing out?
In my opinion, absolutely. We don't know what consequences will happen with eating these foods like we do nowadays.
Last thing, there's the music, coconut. And give us something we may not know about coconut, and how should we take it?
Oh, well, since we're talking about Alzheimer's, coconut can help protect your brain from Alzheimer's. It provides the brain with a unique form of energy that helps protect against Alzheimer's. And if you already do have Alzheimer's, it helps restore memory to the brain.
Fantastic. Bruce, it's great to have you on CoconutResearchCenter.org, PiccadillyBooks.com. Always good to talk to you, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Tomorrow, Rosa Corey will be on. George is going to interview Rosa, of course, behind the green mask. And then 2 days, Dr. Edward Group will be here. Fantastic, always. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. God bless you. Have a great evening.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.